The trials of your life may frustrate you, but they do have a purpose. God never moves without a purpose or a plan. And we're going to talk about the purpose of your trials in your life coming up next on Timeless Truths.
Is too much to give to the Savior. What gift is too big to offer my King? What price is too high to give my Creator? For my Redeemer, this gift I bring.
Spoke loudly, leave her alone. She loved me so much that she had to come. She offered her best and bowed down her will. Now I'll give her my best on Calvary's hill.
Shackled by my sin, I long to be free. Then Jesus saved me and gave victory. He gave me a new heart with new songs to sing. To my Savior, I give everything.
How much is too much to give to the Savior? What gift is too big to offer my King? What price is too high to give my Creator? For my Redeemer, this gift I bring. For my Redeemer, this gift I bring.
Hey, it's Pastor Jerry Burns. Thanks for joining us for Timeless Truths Radio Ministry on this Lord's Day. We are honored that you tuned into our program. Well, there is another year that has begun, and we have started off in 2019. Can you believe it? Another year is done. A new year has begun. And with every new year, there's new opportunities. And I want to begin this program with just some thoughts about the new year and how you can make this year successful in your life. Just some tips for 2019. First of all, I think it's important for you to make spiritual goals for 2019. Now, we know that, you know, our life is in the hand of God. But we can make decisions and we can make spiritual goals where we are striving toward. goals to strive toward. If you don't make any goals, then you're not going to have anything to aim at. And so make some spiritual goals. You know, I've heard people say, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. Now, I think reading through the Bible is good. I think sometimes that reading through the Bible, we can just rush through the Bible because we're trying to read through it and we don't allow the Spirit of God to use it to teach us. But, you know, that's a spiritual goal. I think reading through the entire Bible once, twice, three times in our life is important to get the complete concept, to get the whole meaning of the Bible. It's important. And it's just so interesting to see how the Bible all comes together. If you've made a spiritual goal to read the Bible through in 1 year, then my advice to you is just take your time and to allow the Spirit of God to use it to direct you and to guide you into all truth. You know, if you fall in 2019, then just get up again. A just man falleth seven times, but gets up again. And so you need to remember to stand up when you fall. And, you know, in 2019, there are going to be many times in your life that you mess up, you fall, you sin. But we can confess our sin, and God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward, Paul said. So, you know, if you fall in 2019, then get up. This is important. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. It's so easy for us to get our eyes on people and the opinions of people and the ideologies of people. But I want to encourage you in 2019 to place your eyes upon the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the hymn writer said. Look full in his wonderful face. So place your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him when you run this race. And don't get distracted from things that are less important. Make a decision to start each day with the Lord. I think this is important. I think the psalmist teaches us this principle that we need to begin each day with our attention on the Lord and ask God to help us throughout the day, because we don't know what a day will bring forth. The Bible teaches us that, you know, we need to make sure that we are beginning each day humbly bowing before God and allowing God to guide us and direct us and teach us, but also praying for the grace of God to sustain us throughout the day. And I think this is important. Start each day with the Lord. I think this is also important, and that is enjoy God's blessings and enjoy the life that God has given to you. The Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy that the blessings of God are given to us to enjoy. And if anyone would teach you that our life is to be lived in misery, then they don't know their Bible. God has given to us blessings to enjoy, and God wants us to be happy. Blessed is the man, over and over again, the Bible says. The word blessed means happy. Happy is the man. Happy is the man that follows after the law of God. Happy is the man that pursues righteousness and love and patience. Happy is the man that follows after these things. But the same truth we need to understand is that God gives us blessings and God gives us wonderful gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above. God gives us these gifts to enjoy. And so live your life for the Lord. But, you know, smile along the way and enjoy 2019, because it's going to go by like this. And, you know, we're going to be talking about 2020. So enjoy 2019. And I pray for you and your family that you would have a wonderful year and that God's blessing would be upon you and that this would be the greatest year in your spiritual life than you've ever had. We're in 1 Timothy, and we're continuing our series in 1 Timothy, and I'm enjoying it. I hope you are. We've looked at widows, and the Bible says that we are to honor widows that are widows indeed. And the Bible says that if a widow is desolate, if she has no one to look after her, then the church is to step in, and the church is to be a blessing to her. The Bible says in verse 5, in our text, the Bible says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. A widow that is desolate, she's alone. She has no children to help her. The Bible says that she trusts in the Lord. She continues in supplications and prayers night and day. This is her walk with God. So the Bible says that here is a woman that is not, the needs are not being met by her family. And so her trust ultimately is in God. And her prayer life shows that, because night and day she's seeking the face of God and she's asking God to meet her needs. The Bible says, but the one that has her needs met, she liveth in pleasure, is dead while she liveth. Verse 6. Now this thought here, liveth in pleasure, is found in James 5:5. Yet have ye have lived in pleasure on the earth. Same Greek word there, and it means luxury. So what the Bible is saying here is that someone whose needs are met, they are robbed from a dynamic walk with God. They're not seeking the face of God like the widow that is desolate. They don't you know, pray night and day for God to meet their needs. Their needs are already met. Now, there's nothing wrong, obviously, with needs being met. But I think it's important to understand the principle here, and the thought in this passage of Scripture is that the one that is living in luxury, or the one that is living in pleasure on this earth, is an individual that is robbed of the opportunity to seek the face of God and see God meet those needs. Now, trials come into our life for a purpose. If you are a Christian listening to this radio program, you understand that the trials of your life are always on purpose. God allows these trials to come into your life because God is doing a work in your life. We understand that. God never moves without purpose or a plan. And so these trials teach us. Sometimes they teach us how to pray. Oftentimes in my own life, trials come into my life, and you know, I get on my knees and I pray more than I would normally pray. And so those trials teach us how to pray. They teach us to depend on God. And so trials have a purpose. And this is what the Bible is saying in this passage of Scripture, that the widows are trusting in God. And they have not forgotten God. But yet when life is easy, how convenient, how easy it is for us to forget about God. And the Bible teaches us that throughout the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 32:18, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. It was hard for the children of Israel to forget about God when they were standing before the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was behind them trying to kill them, and they had no other place to go but to look up to God. But it was easy for them to forget about God when all the things of life were provided for them and God brought them into the land of milk and honey. What I'm trying to say is, oftentimes we get sucked into this convenient Christianity. And so the Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that the widow, she doesn't forget about God. She's trusting in the Lord to meet her every need. But they that live in pleasure, it's easy for them to forget about God because all of their needs are provided for them. The thought here also is that true happiness is found not in our world, not in the luxury of our world or the pleasure of our world, but true happiness is found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we need to focus our attention on. And by the way, 1 Timothy talks a lot about this, about our pursuit in life and about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, and these things give in charge that ye may be blameless. Give this charge to those who are living this particular way. Give this charge to those individuals who maybe have forgotten God or living their life in this attitude. that they would change their life, that they would look to God, that they would be reminded to keep their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 8 says of 1 Timothy chapter 5, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So their own house, or their own, speaks of their family. Their own house speaks of their household. This is the duty of Christian children toward the widowed mother. Provision is to be made for those in the same household. And the Bible says if they fail to do so, then they have denied the faith. Now, this is not that they rejected the faith or that they become an apostate, but that they have rejected the very principles of the faith. The practical Christianity is denied. The foundational Christian teachings, the responsibility that we have to take care of our parents, to honor our mother and our father. And the Bible says that this person is worse than an infidel, worse than someone who doesn't believe in God, worse than someone who is not governed by the word of God. So the church is responsible for helping and supporting widows that are desolate, that don't have children to look after them. But notice the qualifications for looking for the church taking care of a widow. Verse chapter 5, verse Timothy, verse number 9. "Let not a widow be taken into the number." Now that number speaks of those that the church should support. So Acts chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So the Bible says here that this number were the number of, it speaks of those who were being taken care of, the widows that were being minister to or taken care of. And so the Bible says that, first of all, they are to be older than 60 years old. So they're not to be taken into the number under 3 score years old. 3 score. Score is 20, 3 is 60. So 60 years old and having been the wife of one man. Now, people have different opinions about this statement. Some suggest that it's one man total, that Paul condemns second marriages. At least the church, with regard to the church supporting them. We know that Paul wasn't against second marriages, period, because in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, he said, "I will therefore that the younger women marry." So he encourages younger widows to get married. I think the spirit of this text speaks of a woman that lives in fidelity to her husband, that she is a faithful woman to her husband, and she is not to be taken in number if she is not faithful. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, that she's to be well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So this is the good work that it's talking about. First of all, it's her faithful ministry. So this is not just someone that shows up to the church, a widow, says, "Hey, can you take care of me?" This is someone who's been serving. This is someone who is known. Her reputation is known as a servant, and she's well reported for her good works. And the Bible gives some examples of these good works, bringing up children in the right way, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, helped and supported strangers, missionaries or travelers that she's been a blessing to. She's washed the saints' feet. This speaks of her servant attitude. In Bible days, when travelers would enter into a home, because of the dust, and they would wear sandals, their feet would be caked in dust, and it was normal for the servant to wash their feet. And so we see here in this passage of scripture that she has a servant attitude. She's willing to serve, and she's willing to be selfless in her servant attitude. She's helped those that are afflicted, helped those that are in distress, been a blessing to those who are in distress, and followed every good work. So we see that she is a friend of all that is good. taking the opportunity to do good in her life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. The Bible says, and we have therefore, as we there have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So here is one that is taking the opportunities to do good. Here's a woman that's taking the opportunities to do good and really just being a servant in those opportunities. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 is where we are. If you're just joining us, this is Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, and we're studying the Word of God together. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're in verse number 11. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. So again, we're talking about the church supporting widows. And the Bible says the younger widows are to be refused. In fact, no widows that are not older than 60 years old is the qualifications that the church is to look at. And the Bible says the younger widows are to be refused because when they begin to wax wanton against Christ, when they begin to become tired of waiting on God to meet their needs, because they are younger, they've made a commitment that they're going to wait upon the Lord. They've made this commitment that they're going to trust in God. But as they become tired in waiting and trusting in God, they'll turn from that commitment. And the Bible says that they will marry. They will marry. Verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 5. So the Bible says the younger widows refuse because that they will become tired in their waiting on the Lord to meet their needs, and they will turn from their commitment that they've made. And the Bible says that they, verse 12, that they'll have condemnation. Now, the thought their condemnation speaks of judgment because they've turned from the commitment. So the Bible says they leave their commitment or their faith in trusting God to meet the needs of their life. But not only that, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, and withal they learn to be idle. So on top of all of that, they also learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So the thought here is that they learn to be idle, and I think that the thought there is they learn to be lazy. The expression learn is the thought that idleness is a bad habit. And so they become accustomed, or they learn this habitual act. And it's a lot easier for us to protect ourselves from becoming involved in bad habits than trying to break bad habits. And this is what Paul is saying here. I'm trying to protect you from this opportunity because you learn to be idle, you learn to do nothing. And so what happens is in learning to become idle, you get this bad habit, this idleness, and you begin to wander from house to house. They say the idle hands are the devil's workshop. They wander from house to house and they become tattlers. They become busybodies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies. What is a busy body? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, I think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some men, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. For their part is he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. So there's a definition there of a busybody. A busybody is someone that gets involved in someone else's life. And I think sometimes in our world today, and in the world of television, we're so busy looking at other people's lives I had family members when I was a kid that were so busy looking at the lives of Hollywood stars that they forgot that they had to live their own. And the Bible says in this passage of scripture that they're busybodies. They're involved in other people's lives. And oftentimes in doing so, they are involved in other people's lives. They forget to live their own life. And so the Bible teaches us that the outcome of this is that they should marry. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, I will therefore that the younger woman marry. Now, he says, I will therefore. He's not commanding this. This is not a command in Scripture that the younger widows are to marry. But the Bible says here that this is just Paul's advice. This is Paul's wisdom on the circumstance. He says here that they should marry, they should bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproach.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.